Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us on this Christmas Eve. The show brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We've got all the fallout from the last Monday Night Football game of the year. Kirk Cousins still Mr. Monday Night. We'll spotlight the return of beast mode in Seattle. Look ahead to what's coming up on Sunday. And since Christmas belongs to the NBA with five games on the schedule tomorrow, the glamour matchup here in Southern California, as I come to you from our Regal Studios in Los Angeles, the battle for bragging rights in LA, Clippers and Lakers will mix in some hoops as well. But given that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are both banged up, the league could be dealing with another ratings hit. Always a pleasure to sit in for Jim. This is the biggest and most important show in our industry. And since I know the hardcore clones love it when the substitute, Pimp in the Box, tries to demonstrate his jungle credentials, I'll skip the resume and the old stories for now. The goal is to be interactive. I'm a huge fan of the JTP, so tweet at me. It's BW Weber. Send me an email, RomeAndHaveATake.com. Pick up the phone, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686. But because I've had the honor to be sitting in this chair for 3 years, I know a couple things. Christmas Eve is a challenging time in sports talk radio. I got takes for days, and we have a lot to get to, but most of you have lives and probably don't want to call me. So if you've had issues getting in the past, this could be your day. But as always, we'll move quickly. I'll never bury you with guests. Just one per hour in 20 minutes. We take you around the NFL with Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. That means, if we're so inclined, phone calls in 40 minutes, probably just a bunch of mean tweets. So what did we know heading into Monday Night Football last night about the two teams? Even though Green Bay has some defensive talent and played well defensively to start the year, felt like that was not going to be the dominant theme. And Aaron Rodgers is not having a tremendous season. Yeah, somehow he got named to the Pro Bowl, but since I'm trying to get a life now that I'm past half century old, yeah, I'm 50 and probably sound a lot older during the holiday season, I don't get worked up over all-star games anymore. This game was a referendum on Kirk Cousins, not Kurt, Kirk Cousins, because you heard it time and time again all the way up until kickoff. Kirk Cousins, 0-8 in his career on Monday night. And although we should be generous since it is the holiday season, probably worth pointing out that Kirk Cousins is also lousy on Thursday night, on Sunday night. Basically, any game not played during daytime, Cousins has his issues. And beyond that, he's got a lousy record against teams with winning records. And we knew coming in, no Dalvin Cook, but this was supposed to be the night that everything changed. Because if you thought about the overall profile of this game, Minnesota has a better defense. Minnesota has better playmakers. Minnesota has a better tight end. Minnesota was playing at home, and it was all in front of them. Win last night, win on Sunday, they wrap up the division. And what happened? Kirk Cousins was Kirk Cousins again. Now, I'm not going to grab the low-hanging fruit and just make Cousins a pinata for the next 3 hours, because none of this is surprising. When people tell you who they are, believe them. And we knew this about Kirk Cousins going back to his run in our nation's capital. There's a reason the team that drafted him coming out of Michigan State knew him better than anybody based on every practice session and every game, decided to date him and not marry him. Pay as you go with the franchise tag. And then it just took a bigger sucker, namely the Minnesota Vikings, to give him $84 million guaranteed. Because in addition to every time the name of Kirk Cousins being uttered, you hear 0-4 blank, now 0-9 on Monday night, you hear that figure, $84 million. I don't know a lot of numbers anymore. I don't know my home phone number. It's in my phone. So hopefully my battery is not going to run out of juice. No, a couple things. Maybe my Social Security number, you can probably get that on the dark web. But I know that Kirk Cousins is getting $84 million guaranteed. And what do you get for that King's ransom? Last night, 16 of 31, 122 passing yards, a touchdown in the wake of one of three Packer turnovers, and an absolutely grisly interception. Because that's what Kirk Cousins does. He'll get you so far. He has the ability to make most of the throws. The stats this year, gaudy. Better numbers in most key categories than Aaron Rodgers. But did you really think he was going to win that game last night? And I don't want to be that jaded and that cynical, presuming that just because I have a strong opinion about something, it's going to be right. But going into that game, and I watched the entire thing, and that's a challenge for me, and it's Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's, 1-800-636-8686. When I'm not here, I have some other assignments. One of them is doing 7 hours of Red Zone Radio every Sunday. I have a short attention span, as we all do. So sitting through an entire game, especially with that Monday night crew, we can talk about that later on my podcast, Voices of the Game with B-Web. Download it wherever you get podcasts. But to be a prisoner of that game, just waiting for Kirk Cousins to implode, was a tough watch. Because everything was lining up beautifully for him and the Vikings. Three Packer turnovers. What in the world, with that stat line and the total output for the Vikings, what would have looked like if they didn't get a gift of three turnovers? They finished that game with 139 total yards. Because Kirk Cousins can only get you so far. He does not make his teammates better. He doesn't elevate his receivers. He's a taller version of Case Keenum. But Case Keenum, at least, was part of a team that made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. And Kirk Cousins is not going to do that. Kirk Cousins has never won a playoff game. In fairness, small sample size based on what he did for the Redskins. You think that's changing this year? Because Minnesota's now locked into the sixth seed. Probably going to have to go to New Orleans. And whenever they kick off that game, it'll feel like a Monday night because it'll be raucous inside the Superdome. What's going to happen then? Cousins is going to come up small again because that's what he does. So we can bash Cousins for taking the money, but you and I would do the same thing. And if you care about personalities, seems like a heck of a nice guy. Now, everybody's selling when you bump into him in a Super Bowl setting, but I've had nice conversations with Kirk over the last couple years on Radio Row, making sure to get the transaction at the end. Hi, I'm Kirk Cousins. You know, when I drink soda, it's dot, dot, dot. But being a nice dude isn't enough. Somehow, some way, he had to win that game last night. And we could talk about the lack of Dalvin Cook, but when you're making $84 million, it shouldn't matter. If you want to demonstrate that you are, forget about the term elite, that's tired and tedious, a frontline starter in this league, you got to show up, and he didn't once more. So it's pretty clear the Vikings aren't going anywhere, even though we know they're on their way to the postseason, without a healthy Dalvin Cook. And if you're a Viking fan, you just got to ride this out because you got more money on the hook for Cousins, but nothing's going to change so long as he's under center. And then you pivot to what's going on in Green Bay. The defensive effort was strong last night. It helped. They were matching up against a quarterback who was overwhelmed by the magnitude of the moment once more. Yes, we can talk about what Aaron Jones has been doing, and we should. Two more rushing touchdowns, giving him 16 this year. And finally, the Packers have a ground game. They've been waiting on that since, what, Dorsey Levens? But the other thing I'm hearing in the wake of what happened last night is, what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers? Because he's not winning you games this year in fantasy football. Or because somehow he looks a bit older. Or because the numbers, if you care, weren't sexy. Less than 300 passing yards, no touchdowns. Well, you know what really matters? Green Bay won the division. And I'm not buying any false media narrative that says just because Aaron Rodgers turned 36 a few weeks ago and he's dealt with injuries and historically before Tom Brady and Drew Brees changed everything. You get to your mid-30s as a quarterback, it all falls apart. I've heard parallels between Rodgers and Philip Rivers. Are you freaking kidding me? Philip Rivers is washed. He's been washed for a while. He was never going to the Hall of Fame. A stat accumulator, to use the baseball parlance. Aaron Rodgers is a transformational talent. I would have no problem if he had wound up on that list of the premier quarterbacks in the history of the league that's going to be unveiled Friday night on NFL Network. And yeah, I've got the pom-poms out. I'm an Aaron Rodgers fanboy. But don't tell me somehow because his numbers are down that there's something wrong with Aaron Rodgers. You know what's right with the Packers? They finally have a degree of balance because they moved away from Mike McCarthy's 1995 offense. So if you want to just go through stats and regurgitate numbers, yes, you can come up with some straw man argument that Aaron Rodgers has begun the slow decline. Well, here's the counter. They're going to be the 2 seed, worst case. Have a chance to be the top seed if Beast Mode, and we'll talk about the return of Marshawn Lynch in a moment, can lead Seattle past San Francisco on Sunday Night Football. But let's just assume Green Bay is the number 2 seed. With that, they get a bye. Don't you think Rodgers, much like Tom Brady has done repeatedly, is going to come off that bye week looking rejuvenated? I don't need him to throw for 425 yards and 3 touchdown passes. He doesn't have to because he finally has some help. So you put it all together. Unless last night defensively was an anomaly because Cousins wet the bed once more, and I don't think that's the full story. I was impressed by Green Bay's ability to make it even more challenging for an overmatched quarterback. You have a premier running back. You have one of the greatest of all time under center. Solid defense. Still lacking at the wide receiver position, but that's a winning formula for the Green Bay Packers, especially since they're going to host a playoff game at Lambeau Field, one of the most storied venues in all of sports. Now, if we're talking about loud and we're talking about the stadium shaking, well, that's Seattle. And we know the seismic activity years ago when Beast Mode got loose. There'll be a chance again on Sunday because Marshawn is back. He'll be getting that rock over and over and over and over
and over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
He's just about that action, boss. Now, this feels beyond nostalgic. This feels desperate. Now, I know they just needed a body because everybody who's been toting the rock this year in Seattle is banged up. But if you're going to go old school, what? Sean Alexander wasn't available? Franco Harris at the end of his career? This feels like a reach to me, and we'll talk about it in detail coming up when we have our conversation with Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. Final hour, we'll check in with a great friend of mine, Eric Allen, the former standout NFL quarterback, talk about how a player can not be competing for the better part of a year and a half and come back and play. We know Beast Mode is a different cat. Beyond what he could do on the field, I think this is Pete Carroll jumping in the hot tub time machine saying, we need that juice, sipping that gin and juice in the locker room, and Marshawn Lynch is going to show up and hopefully, if you're a Seattle fan, change the identity of a football team that has completely flipped. It's now the Bizarro Seahawks. They're vulnerable at home. The defense is terrible. They're battered on the offensive line. They have no healthy running backs, but they have Russell Wilson. And so long as you have Russell Wilson, you have a chance still. Yes, the return of Marshawn Lynch is a Christmas gift for all of us in the content business. Skittles aplenty. But I'm just going to be really skeptical heading into game time and wondering, what are you actually getting from Marshawn Lynch, not only Sunday, but the playoff game? Because this just reeks of an overreach and desperation for a franchise that is trying to connect with the better days of the past when they had that identity of running the football and hitting them out defensively. As much as I admire every facet of Russell Wilson's game.
Clones. What do we want when we're craving protein or need some energy? Not bars. Not sugary snacks. Definitely not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. Where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. In other words, not shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. It's tender, it's tasty, it's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef very seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein and comes in four great flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach, wherever. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag so you can see the quality that you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. Clones, if you don't see it, be sure to ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, where's your beef?
Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. Josh, happy holidays. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy holidays to you, Brian.
So let's go back to Monday Night Football. And I was not watching that game to confirm my opinion that Kirk Cousins is just a guy, but he did it again. He just can't win in primetime other than that victory on Sunday night against Dallas earlier this season. Josh, is it too harsh to say that Cousins simply is incapable of elevating his teammates? He does not make his receivers better, it seems to me.
I don't think that's unfair. I think that there's just ample evidence of to this point that, you know, especially a night like last night where you have no Dalvin Cook and no Alexander Mattison, and you need your quarterback to have a brilliant game. And he couldn't. Now, all credit due to the Packers defense, but we've seen Cousins against all sorts of different defenses and all sorts of big games. I don't want to say this was a must win for the Vikings. They're in the playoffs. They have bigger fish to fry regardless of what happened last night, but it was a chance to keep the division race open another week. It was a chance to perhaps get yourself a home game and you're playing, you know, playing a division rival, a big game, and you know, come up short again. And I think at some point the perception is the reality. And I think that's where we're at with Cousins now.
So that's one perception. How about the notion that there might be something wrong with Aaron Rodgers? His numbers are down a bit. I was pointing out, and it's pretty self-evident, a lot of that is a byproduct of finally establishing a ground game with Aaron Jones. But how would you sum up what Aaron Rodgers has done this year?
I think he's you don't want to say he's not a caretaker quarterback or a game manager, but it's sort of in that realm. I think now and then we've seen those old throws and we've seen those laser beams and he's come up with some of those plays over the course of the year. But yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones is the engine for this team. And we saw it again last night, whether it's as a receiver taking shorter passes or as a running back, he's the guy that makes this team go. And it's defense and it's Aaron Jones. And that's, you know, clearly not the way it's been for Aaron Rodgers' entire career, but it is something that's been going on for a couple of years now. You look at his yards per pass, you look at all of those metrics that sort of show you how prolific a passer he is, where he used to be just, you know, miles above everybody on that stuff, and he's not anymore. So I think you are seeing a different quarterback, but I think you're seeing a quarterback who's certainly smart enough to continue to win this way as long as he's getting the kind of play that he's getting around him. And you know, I think that the Packers are going to be an interesting team. You know, if they wound up with that second seed, which, it, you know, they win this week, they have that, and they could perhaps wind up as the top seed, depending on what happens with the San Francisco-Seattle game. It's, you know, you never want to go play in Lambeau in January, and you don't want to play a team that's, you know, if you wanted to play in, you know, the older, more finesse-y Packers teams, that would be okay. But to play a team like this in that weather, it's, I think they're going to be a tough out, even though Aaron Rodgers has clearly taken a step or started to, you know, decline a bit. It's almost a more dangerous team because of Aaron Jones and because of the fact that in a big playoff spot, I would still think that you'd like Aaron Rodgers over a lot of quarterbacks in this league.
Unquestionably. And Josh, to amplify that point, couldn't you argue this is a better approach for the Packers not to be solely reliant on the brilliance of Rodgers as they have been in the past? Now they have a variety of options, especially what they've been doing defensively. It helped that they matched up against Kirk Cousins, who looked scared again in high-leverage situations. But if you're going to make a deep run in January, you got to play some defense, and you got to run the ball.
Absolutely, and future laying it out there. And if you're hosting a team like the Saints that historically have not been as good outdoors, you can rush the passer and run the ball. Those are things that really work in your favor. You grab an early lead, and that's the kind of games that you win by just grinding and grinding. And it isn't what we've seen from the Packers in the past, but it does certainly look like a much more sustainable way for them to go based on this season versus the last couple under Mike McCarthy.
Talking NFL with Josh Alper. Check out his outstanding work at ProFootballTalk.com. Let's shift to Seattle, the return of beast mode. Josh, you think Marshawn Lynch is going to be more important on the field or in the locker room?
I think probably the locker room. But I do think there's something to be said for his – it was never something that was first and foremost, but his ability to pass protect. I thought that was something on Sunday that was really – underrated. I mean, you're missing Dwayne Brown at left tackle. Chandler Jones just feasted. And they didn't have a guy, they didn't have anybody stepping up to sort of help on that front. If you're going to have to max protect, and if you're going to have to do those kinds of things against the 49ers defense, which I think you're going to have to, we've seen enough of how Robert Saleh runs a defense. They're going to be aggressive and they're going to come. You need a guy who's able to protect and a guy who knows all those protections and knows those schemes. That's something Lynch brings to the table. Russell Wilson's going to trust him in a way that I don't think he trusts Travis Homer. How could he? They barely played together. And so I think that, I don't know if that's in the locker room or on the field, but that sort of confidence boost that you get from a player who comes in with that pedigree is something that I think is going to make a really big difference this week and in the wild card round, assuming they lose and don't get a bye.
Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. We're taking you around the NFL with Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. Josh, when we get through the regular season finale on Sunday, then it's on to Black Monday. And even if the Browns beat the abysmal Bengals, it feels like the consensus of opinion is Freddie Kitchens could be the fall guy. Do you think Cleveland might hang on to him just to have a degree of stability and say, we can't keep blowing out coaches year after year?
That feels like the biggest argument for keeping him. I think nothing about the job he's done suggests that he was ready for this job. So that I think that you say he can't be worse. He can only learn from this and get better would be the other half of that argument. But I think the biggest thing is they don't want to be, same old Browns. You fire Hugh Jackson, you let Greg Williams go. Now you fire Freddie Kitchens after 1 year. You're back at square one. Baker Mayfield regressed. The Odell Beckham trade didn't work out. All of these things that you heap on it when really they win this weekend. It's still the best season they've had in ages in terms of the record. And that's how much I think the poor coaching job really hurt them. I think this is a team that probably lost 2-3 games because of things that we would attribute to coaching, discipline, attention to detail, and just a few, straight up coaching decisions and blunders like that. So there hasn't been much of an argument to keep Kitchens other than to say that, look, everything went so badly this year and we still went 8-8. Let's learn from this. Let's grow from this. Maybe there's a way to bring in some older former head coach who can help him, other kinds of assistance and other things that can help him while you continue to flesh out this roster and everything, all those things can be better this year. If you eliminate half those mistakes, you should be a playoff team. That would be the argument I'd make if I were trying to keep him. But if they went the other way, I certainly couldn't blame them.
Feels like he just needs a fall guy to stand next to him. So when Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. are yelling, they're not yelling directly in the face of their head coach. What do you make of the reports that Urban Meyer could be interested in this job? We know about his many ties to the state of Ohio, but Josh, to me, this feels a lot like Nick Saban going to the Dolphins, and we know how that worked out in South Florida.
Yeah, I think that Urban Meyer, likes having his name attached to things, and I think that's, especially right now, you go into this crazy season, there's no college job that's going to interest him. So He's talking about how much he'd love to be the Dallas Cowboys coach, and he's showing up at Washington games and sitting in the box with Alex Smith, and now the Brown stuff. And so I think that, you know, I think it's a lot of smoke. I don't really buy that there's fire. I don't see, unless the Haslams are going completely to clear house, I don't see where John Dorsey, that would be his kind of a coach. I don't think that you take a team like this and say, you know, you need to make a big step forward and take the risk that it just isn't going to work out with Meyer either. I don't see that being the way they go. If they did make a change, I think you have to go with an experienced NFL head coach.
We're chatting with Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. Josh, the first step in Dallas, barring the unforeseen, will be firing Jason Garrett. Then you have the coaching search. But in this offseason, the decision has to be made about Dak Prescott. Do you think the Cowboys will play it safe and use the franchise tag on Dak, or is Jerry Jones going to be desperate for a splashy headline and give him a ton of guaranteed money?
I would think that it's going to, I think that it's more likely the deal, just because of the way that they've talked about it, and that this sense that it's something that's been on the table and negotiated. And now that you get down to brass tacks, once the season comes to an end and everybody wants to make it happen, I think Dak Prescott would want to make it happen. I think he likes being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I think he would want that certainty. Maybe it's a deal that's structured for a couple, 3 years, and then there are ways for either side to figure out a way out of it. But the one thing that would give me pause, I always thought that it would be Prescott signing and they'd use the franchise tag on Cooper. And the last few games of Amari Cooper, I have sort of raised some doubts in my head as to whether the Cowboys are going to go forward with him or not.
Yeah, he's been MIA, Josh. Nothing from Amari Cooper.
I'm sorry?
Amari Cooper has been missing in action.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely missing in action. And that opens up the franchise tag for Prescott in a way that I didn't think was going to be on the table, because I really did think it was going to be Cooper getting that to hold him in place and figure out the Prescott stuff. You've got Ezekiel done. But now, I think especially when you're talking about a new coach and a new direction to go, I don't know that Amari Cooper's done enough to say that we're going to continue to make him a centerpiece of our offense.
Josh, as always, we appreciate the insights. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Happy holidays.
Happy New Year, guys.
Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com, spent the majority of this first hour dissecting the NFC in the wake of Kirk Cousins' latest debacle on Monday Night Football. Coming up in the next hour, we'll turn our attention to the AFC. Can anybody slow down Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Not this week. They'll be resting against Pittsburgh. But coming off the bye, when they have home field advantage throughout the AFC postseason. Plus, Adam Gase is rich, and he wants you to know about it. Details on the way. By now you should know, if you've heard me before, and that is presumptuous, I have about 5 hours of content I try to shove into a 3-hour bag. I have some NBA thoughts I want to get to, and coming up in the next hour of the program, we will dig deep as to what's been going on to start the season when we're joined by Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com. But I don't want to sit here and ramble for 3 hours because I'm a clone. I've been listening every day for 20 years, huge fan of the JTP. So I give out the phone number for a reason, and I'm going to put aside a sizzling hot take about the proposed in-season tournament that could be coming to the NBA to get interactive. Let's say hello to David in Buffalo. Hey, David, you're in the jungle with Brian Weber. What's going on?
Hey, Brian, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for having me on. Huge Bills fan. It's been a really good season. I love the way this team has been constructed. Our defense has played awesome this year. I feel like Josh Allen has taken that next step. You know, he looks like a guy that can really be a franchise quarterback for years to come. I think they've got to add some weapons in the offseason, you know, to really go up against the heavyweights in the AFC, the Baltimores, the Kansas Cities. But I think this team, you know, has shown this year they can play with just about anybody. I think Sean McDermott is one of the best coaches out there. He's done a phenomenal job. And I think Brandon Bean, the way he's drafted, the free agent moves he's made, I mean, he's just put this team in such a good spot. They got a lot of salary cap space going forward. I think that the future is so bright with this organization. I think this team can win a Super Bowl in the next few years. Not maybe not this year, but I love the way they're set up just because they've got all the pieces in place and there's stability there.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the phone call. An actual sports take, which is novel in 2019. Made a lot of good points. If you're talking about the coaching staff, you also should focus, as you know, on Leslie Frazier, who's done an outstanding job as a defensive coordinator, former head coach in Minnesota, should get real interviews, not just courtesy interviews, when we get to the hiring season. My issue with Buffalo in the short term is, how far are you going to go with Josh Allen under center? Now, I realize, and we saw it time and time again in recent weeks, especially against the Patriots with that bomb to John Brown, he's got an arm that he can throw a football over a mountain like Uncle Rico. He's just not accurate enough. Completion percentage around 50% in that game against the Patriots, as I bury you now with numbers. Good news was he didn't turn it over. And that told me a lot against a tremendous Patriot defense. But slowly, the franchise moving in the right direction. And the good news is, finally, they have some stability. Remember, they had not made the playoffs since 1999, prior to going a few years ago in that horrendous playoff game in Jacksonville. You have a quarterback who is a foundation now. I'm not as sold on Allen as some other people are. I need to see more improvement. Also, he's got to make some better decisions with when he decides to run, because he's a big dude. But he's running as much as Lamar Jackson in the red zone. He's going to get blown up sometime. But if you're a Bills fan, and I know this program has a huge connection to Bills Mafia, and the Buffalo crowd, a lot to believe in, even if you're going to be one and done as a wild card in the postseason. We are rolling through calls today because it is the most wonderful time of the year on Christmas Eve. Here is Johnny in Texas. Hey, Johnny, you're in the jungle. What's going on?
What's going on, Brian? Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Hey, listen, in all sincerity, you are one of my favorite subs. There's some that I don't care for at all, but when I hear you and I hear that guy in Sacramento, I'm all about it. So hope that get to listen to you again before the holidays are all over with. Hey, listen, this Urban Meyer thing is really intriguing because I'm a Dallas Cowboys honk, and I always have been, I always will be. But this year, to say it's been a disappointment is an understatement. You know, I was at the Rams game, and I don't even know what I saw last Sunday. I just don't know it. It was absolutely a debacle. And it's just so frustrating to think about the years when I was coming up and we won those championships, you know, and to see the talent that we have now, it's just absolutely horrible. But let's face it, whether it's Urban or Lincoln or whoever we sub out for Jason, as long as that man is still alive, and I'm talking about the owner, the general manager, I don't think anything changes, frankly. I'm disappointed. I just want to say that. Hey, I want to add this in here. Adam Hawk, I know that we give him all kinds of grief, you know, for being Adam Hawk. But over the Thanksgiving holiday, he reached out to me on Twitter and wished me and my family a happy Thanksgiving. And I thought that was pretty awesome. If I could ever get a follow from Mr. High Testosterone, Little Alvy, I would be really stoked.
But, you're asking a lot there. He's very selective, though, Johnny. You know that.
What's that?
Alvy is very selective. But it could be a Christmas miracle. We appreciate the phone call. Thank you for the kind words. You're right. I give Adam Hawk a hard time because we're friends off the air. Shh. It's going to destroy the bit. But the audience is always changing. You will not remember I said that when I berate him coming up in the next hour of the program. These are not the droids you're looking for. Johnny, appreciate the phone call. And you said exactly what I was going to point out. When you think about the Cowboys, it all hinges on the owner, and he's not going anywhere. So you blow out Jason Garrett. It's time for a change. You bring in Ron Rivera and Norv Turner. Okay, what's going to change? Maybe some situational play calling. At least they might run the football a little bit, unlike what happened on Sunday. Let's squeeze in Red in Long Beach. Hey, Red, you're a veteran. I know you're shtick. You got to do it in 30 seconds.
Ryan Weber, Santa Claus came down that chimney a little early. You know I love you, you son of a bitch. I've been following you since the Beast 980. You keep doing you, Brian Weber. You are one hell of a substitute pimp in the box. And I just wanted to let you know that I love you, you son of a bitch. Merry Christmas.
And that's why that radio station is no longer on the air. Because we took a lot of calls.
Good night,